The text for this morning is taken from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 39. Let me read to you verses 1 to 6. Chapter 39, verses 1 to 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Amen. Lord, add his blessings upon the reading of his most holy and precious word. Behind a frowning providence. A well-known Oxford professor, well known for evolution and for his anti-God books that he authored. His name is Richard Dawkins. Probably some of you have heard him. Claim that indeed, if you believe in God, you are deluded. You are deceived. You're mad. And in his book, The God Delusion, and his other writings and some videos that he released, he always says that there is no God. Where is God in this world full of evil? Where is God in this world full of poverty, full of hardships, full of wars, full of conflicts? And even if he will say that, well, God is not with the world, but he may say also that, well, even in the church that claims to have God, there are troubles and conflicts and factions and divisions. Where is God? And he says there is no God. Because if there is God, then we should not have experienced these troubles, this evil. And he says that if indeed he is there, maybe he is not that powerful to control all the evil, or he is not that loving enough to care for his people. He may love them, but he is not powerful. Or he may be powerful but cruel to bring his people to go through difficult circumstances in life. And he says, if this is the God we have, I don't believe in him. Now, all of us understand that he is talking nonsense. I pray all of us believe that we have a God. We have the God. We have our God, the God of the Bible. And we know that all this evil and all these animosities and all the problems that we have here on earth are part and parcel of God's decree. And that is what we can see in the life of Joseph. We have to understand this because in this situation that we are in, where we are bombarded with so much bad news, and so many news that talks about wars and destructions, talks about poverty, and talks about sicknesses and diseases around, all this will cause us to question, where is God? Is God still controlling, superintending, governing this world? Of course, we know, as we understand, He is still in control. God is providentially in this situation, allowing all things. But we have to see His hand doing this in order for us to not question Him, but praise Him. Not complain, but glorify Him. Not murmur, but continue to know Him and follow Him. Behind a frowning providence. This is what Joseph experienced. A very dark providence. A providence that if he had not that faith that indeed God is there and that God was with him, he could have turned away and ran away from that situation. And if he ran away, we know things would be different today. Or at least God has used other people to still fulfill his prophecies. Let us look on this life of Joseph, particularly in these 6 verses, where we see that in spite of this frowning providence, in spite of this dark providence, gloomy providence in the life of Joseph, God is still behind him, planning, superintending everything in his life. And not only planning, but his presence was with Joseph. And not only that, God reveals that he is in control because he's the one who planned. And he is present with Joseph. He's showing us a pattern here. A pattern that we must understand in order to be encouraged to continue to follow and obey God. Behind a frowning providence. Indeed, it is a very frowning situation for Joseph. He was a homeboy, beloved of his father. He was one who was taken care of specially by his own father because he was a son of his old age. And he was there given the privilege of having this coat of many colors to identify him, that he was favored by the father. That of course caused some of his or his brothers to envy and be jealous of him. And he was a good boy, reporting always those bad things that his brothers did and reported to the father. He was righteous. He was honest. And if we assess his life, he didn't deserve such kind of providence. How can good people experience bad situation? How can good people go through this dark providence? But he went through. And he was much hated by his own brothers, be even sold into some of these merchants going down into Egypt, and was sold as a slave. As a slave, he was around 17 years old. I believe some of us here are still at that age. And you can imagine if you are at that age, was taken care of by your parents and be sold as a slave. Slave to be displayed with other young boys or men to be checked and to be offered to people who wanted to buy slaves in order to serve the masters. You can imagine like being displayed like a cow or a goat in the market. And it was told in those days that if you are a slave sold in Egypt, you will be totally naked. naked in the sense that the people, the Lord, the Master, would want to see everything, whether you really are physically fit to serve. You don't have to hide anything. That was the shame. Imagine you are being clothed with a special robe with many colors, and suddenly you will be naked in front of many people and to be sold like an animal. You would think of thanking God for that providence. You will not think of giving praise to God. Thank God I'm naked here. You'll be asking, why, Lord? Why? And God revealed to him a dream. A dream that someday this, my own brothers will come to bow down before me, even my own father. And now he was sold as a slave. He believed that was God's revelation to him. But where is that, Lord? Is there any possibility that your revelation will come true? It is to be sold as a slave. There is no more such probability that he will come to a certain time where he will be promoted and his brothers would come to kowtow and bow down before him. No hope. Is your revelation false? Are you joking with me when you give me that dream? You might think of that, that situation. For us, we understand because all is given today. But if you are such a person whom God has revealed something that you will be great in the near future and your own brothers will bow down and to somehow reverence you, and now you are displayed like an animal, offered sometimes even to be put on sale. We have a discount here. Anyway, we just bought him 20 pieces of silver. You can buy him around 22 or 25. That's enough. Indeed, a frowning providence. And that was what Joseph experienced. But behind this, we have to understand that God is still in control. He was the one who planned all these things. He allowed all this for his purpose. He allowed all this because he knew well from the beginning until the end what he has for, not only for Joseph, but also for his own people. Even at chapter 37, you might think, and you might even hear, be interested, why suddenly, if you will go to 37 verse 17, that this man whom Joseph went to, he heard that his own brother suddenly just decided, let us go to Dothan. And they did not ask for permission. They did not tell their father that they will be moving up to north. Somehow they knew there are greener pastures there for their own animals. Somehow they know that this Dothan, the meaning of this is two wells. Probably there will be water there. So we go up. And that is around 24 kilometers, around 15 miles upwards. You know, it is troublesome to travel there with the animals. But yet they decided to go. Why they decided to be there? Probably because of the pasture and the water. But we know that Dothan is along the route from Gilead, even to Arabia, down to Egypt. It's the caravan route for merchants. It's a road that connects Arabia and Egypt. It is the road that connects these two great, in that period, civilization. And we know that when these brothers wanted to kill Joseph, then suddenly they saw these merchants.
Suddenly they saw that, oh, these merchants are going there. What if we have to sell this, or I mean kill this brother, what can we get? Better sold him and we can get some kind of money for us. And that leads Joseph down to Egypt. So here in our first point where we can see God planning, we know that God predetermines these things. He has his plan predetermined. He was the one who arranged. He was the one who allowed his brothers to go up. Why? There was a route there from Arabia to Egypt. And that when Joseph will be there to be killed, there was this merchants also arranged by God that they would pass by and they would buy Joseph. There were merchants in those days from Arabia to Egypt were known to be carrying those ointments, perfumes, incense. These were the things that they were carrying. They were not bringing slaves from there. Probably they just saw that this is a very cheap slave. We can easily sell him out there. They took him. They were not slave traders. They were rare. They did not have any history of slave trading from Arabia down to Egypt. It was only Joseph when they saw that, oh, maybe this is a cheap one. We can easily sell him to Egypt. That's why they took him. God predetermined everything. And that we can see in the life of one who truly is of God, in the person of Joseph. Not only that God predetermined. You see in chapter 39, verse 1, it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Why Egypt? Why this caravan was going down to Egypt? Why not a caravan that comes from Egypt to Arabia? We know how God has prophesied when he revealed to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 13, all the way from his great-grandfather, it was already foretold that here in Genesis 15, 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And we know how they stayed there, lived in Egypt for four before it happened. Now, this is the assurance of us believers. Our lives are not just by accident and by chance, as evolutionists would think. Our lives are predetermined by God, and how we are thankful that indeed it is God, the Almighty, who predetermines this. It is not us. It is not by chance. It is not somebody out there, spirit or whatever, that determines our lives. It is God who is able. God is all-powerful, who knows what to do and has the power to control everything according to his will. And indeed, Joseph was brought into Egypt. Here we have that he was brought into a man called Potiphar. Of all people, he was this man Potiphar. It was not only predetermined and prophesied, but it was a purposeful plan. Of course, the plan is a purpose, and it was purpose that he will be sold to Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh. The idea of officer here, he was chief of the guard, probably a chief of security guard or those who are protecting Pharaoh. And of course, because he was the chief of the bodyguards of Pharaoh, he should live around or near the house of Pharaoh, the palace of Pharaoh. We don't know whether truly Joseph was displayed there, and somehow Potiphar came and looked for some slaves and he saw Joseph. I want to believe that he could have been delivered because these merchants were delivering expensive ointments, incense, and of course he goes to those wealthy persons, and one of these is Potiphar. And somehow they said, "Oh, we also have a slave here. We have a man, we have somebody here. Would you want him?" Potiphar said, "Okay." And so he has, there it is said that he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. It was that the Ishmaelites who displayed him. He could have brought him and they to Potiphar, and Potiphar bought him directly from the Ishmaelites. He was the captain of the guard, one who was influential, one who was a person near to Pharaoh. And indeed, it was God's purpose that he would be in this man. He was not chosen, or he was not taken by a farmer to serve there and cultivate the lands. He was not taken by a businessman in order to deliver some things out there in Egypt. He was not taken one as a builder, probably one of those slaves who will build some of those pyramid or what. He was taken by the captain of the guard. And we understand when we read the book of Genesis down to 40 and the rest, we know that it was God's purpose really that he would be with Potiphar, because somehow he would be in a house with a lustful wife. And a lustful wife that will cause him to be imprisoned, not to just be put there incarcerated forever, but in order for him to meet the chief butler and the chief baker of Pharaoh, who was at that time also offended Pharaoh, and then now they were together in prison. And God put and gave dreams to this chief butler and chief baker, which Joseph interpreted exactly as it was fulfilled. And that's why when the Pharaoh dreamed of something that troubled him, this chief butler remembered, "I have one person there. I know of one in the prison. He was a slave. And now he's in prison. He knows, and he has that understanding, discernment. He has that intellect to interpret dreams." You can imagine this thing is, with all this, I mean, some of you may be here as statisticians. If you compute this probability, why Joseph was brought into Egypt to Potiphar and then then later came into prison and meet this butler and this baker in order for him to be introduced to Pharaoh. And now, after he was introduced to Pharaoh and interpreted the dream, he was appointed from prison to become the prime minister, from a prisoner to become a prime minister. From prison to palace, that was the life of Joseph. It's all God's plan. Behind a frowning providence, don't think that God is not able to control your life, or he has forgotten you, or maybe he has no power to help you, or maybe he has not thinking about you, or just watching you and laughing out there, "Wow, this person is struggling." No, he is in control. He's the one who plans. He's God who takes care of his children. That's why all of us here must be assured, and we must secure ourselves with truly we are God's children. Because this happened to Joseph, who was indeed a man of God, because God was with him. Is God with us? Are we truly born again? Are we truly Christians? Are we truly people who have repented of our sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we just nominally Christians, Christians in name? Do we really know Jesus Christ? Do we really want to serve him? Do we really want to praise him? Do we really want to see him? Do we expect that someday we will be with him forever in eternity? We shall behold his face and praise his Savior, who died for us so that we will be saved, so that we will be out and we will not be cast into the lake of fire. This God whom we should praise and worship for eternity, forever and ever, we will behold the face of Jesus. Do you desire that? Do we have that heart to look forward to that God? Do we know how great He is and how great work He has done for us? It's all by His plan. Joseph, while on earth, experienced that goodness of God in His plan. And if we are truly children of God, truly born again believers, have repented and truly have received Jesus Christ, we have that assurance. Our life is under the care of God who planned everything. He predetermines our lives and even He knows. He cares for you and me. He loves you and me. He died for us. How come we will not feel that love that He has for us? God plans for us. Behind Joseph's frowning providence, God was there arranging everything in the life of Joseph. And that too is our assurance that He is planning, arranging everything for our lives. And not only that He was planning, He was not up there planning. You know, you can be an engineer or an architect, and in today's context where there is online and Zoom meeting or whatever, there are some people who design the building and they are out there in US and the building is here in Singapore. And you just communicate and guide and tell people, this is what you do, this is what is the design, this is the kind of materials you have to bring in. But God was personally present with Joseph. Take note in verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And the idea of with Joseph is not the idea that, well, He is with Joseph, but He was distant. He was with Joseph. In fact, He was there present with him. And that is what we can see also in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph. He is present. And when God is present with Joseph, we see that God prospered him. The Lord prospered him. Take note of who is this God. The Lord, the faithful covenant-keeping God, was with Joseph. It says here, the Lord was with Joseph and He prospered him. Maybe you'll think, wow, this is prosperity gospel. You know, when the Lord is with us, we'll prosper. But take note, prosperity here, yes, it means to succeed. It means to advance. It means to gain things. It means profiting. It means something that you have, you will receive more and you will be given more and you will have all the goodness. In your work, you will have all the success that you need, that you desire. He was prosperous. But take note, he did not prosper as if he was delivered. Okay, Joseph, since you prospered, you will not be a slave anymore. You know, his prosperity, he remained as a slave. It was made clear here. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He prospered, but it's not the prosperity that we think today, that we all become CEO or what. No, he prospered in the eyes of his master. He prospered in the eyes of his Lord. He prospered in the eyes of the people around. And whenever he had prospered, he gained something, he profited something, he would always attribute this to the Lord. He would give glory to God who helped him. He will always point this to the Lord. Why we know that? It is not something that we just think of. It is because here he says in verse 3, and his master saw the Lord was with him. His master saw the Lord was with him. Did the master saw that Joseph was glowing? Did the master saw that Joseph had such a halo over his head? Did the master saw that he was some kind of a god now? No. The Lord was with him, as was seen by the master, because Joseph always testified that in everything that he do, in everything that he was doing, the Lord was with him. And the master, who was a non-believer, he was not a believer of the God of the Jews. He's an Egyptian. He believed in the sun. He worshiped the sun. Yet he knows that this God of Joseph, whom he said Jehovah, the God who created the heavens and the earth, is always prospering him. When whatever things I told him to do, it is fruitful. It is profiting. It is something that will always be successful. And that's what he saw. Other people, other servants, they worship the sun, yet they gain nothing. But he saw that in Joseph, things were made in a way where it went to the glory of God. It gave glory to God. There were things that happened that was different from the rest of the slaves, the rest of the servants. He saw that the Lord was with him. And this is prosperity. Prosperity today is defined by many churches. It's prosperity so that I will have more money in the bank. Prosperity so that I have more houses, more estates, more condos or in JB or whatever. More of these things for me. No, this is not prosperity in the eyes of God. Prosperity in the Christian's life is to let others see that God is with us. Prosperity is when we gain others to know Christ. Prosperity is when we let and lead others to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is prosperity. This is the prosperity that Joseph experienced. The master saw that the Lord was with him. The master saw that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. The Lord made all that he did to prosper. It was not Joseph. The praise was not in Joseph. The master did not say, "Oh, Joseph, you are such a skillful person. You really think you are really smart. You are really a person that can be trusted because you can do all things." No, the master Potiphar saw that it was the Lord. The Lord. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It was the Lord. Joseph always attributed things to God. And sometimes you are praised and we think, "Oh, thank God, oh, thank God." You know, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. But actually we are boasting also ourselves. It was us. Thank God. Thank God. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And it was what the master saw. Because it was the Lord who was present with him. Truly, if God is with us. When we always say, "God bless you. God be with you." We greet, we pray, we extend that wish and prayer to others that God be with them, to help them, to protect them, to prosper them. And that's a prayer that God will be shown in their lives. God will be revealed in their lives. God will be seen in their lives. It is not just to grant them safety and protection, provide them the food that they need. It is to pray that they will manifest the presence of God in their lives. And it's also true to us. We pray that the Lord will be seen in our lives. Many will mock.
Many will see you, or what is this kind of person? But when they see that even though he is not able, there are things that come out of his work, that there are still some things that come out of that ministry, or there is still something that come out of that labor. And people will see, yeah, I know, if he's the one who did this, this would be a mess. But I know the Lord is with him. That's why it happened this way. The praise is unto God. The praise is unto the Lord. Because God, or the Lord, was with Joseph. Is God present with us? Is the Lord present with us? Is the Lord with us? And this is what we have to understand. Are people around us see the Lord helping us? We may be persecuted. We may be ridiculed. We may be a people who are looked down because we are not able to attain some of those success or those degrees that others have. Some people will claim they're so much eloquent in whatever they speak, and so proud of how they can do their teachings and their preachings, and mock others as if they cannot do it. But there are those, even though they are not able to perfectly do it, yet God is with them to empower God's word unto salvation to those who have heard. And it was not because of the eloquence of the preacher, the teacher, that moved the heart of the person to receive Christ. It is the word of God, because it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the power of God unto salvation. It is not the word of man. It is not the strength of man. It is not how I deliver here. Even if I act and I do or cry here, it cannot move you without the Spirit working. It is the Spirit of God, the word of God. And truly, there will be working in the Word of God. The Spirit of God will work in our hearts. Truly, if indeed it is empowered by the Lord Himself, who is with us, who is with you, who is with me. Joseph, he did not have any experience of doing this work. He was a homeboy, cared by his father. Now he became a slave, doing all things in the, whatever things in the property or the field of Potiphar. But one thing we can see here is not that only he was prospering and that he was perceived to be with the Lord, or the Lord was with him. We also see him how he was promoted. He was promoted. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer. Overseer over his house. Overseer over his house. One who takes care of his house. One who oversees probably in the field and also in the farms or whatever this Potiphar was doing. We don't know what is his business. All that he had, he put into his hand. He was promoted. Promoted in the work, but not in the status. He was still a servant. He was still a slave. Sometimes we think that, I'm still this at this level. From the point I apply the job, still this is the position that I have. Until I retire, still the same position. No worries, as long as in that position, you are glorifying God. You are promoting Him. The promotion is not on our state. It is the promotion of God in our lives. And when he was promoted, indeed, we see here that God was working in the life. The Lord was working in the life of Joseph. And in this promotion, we can see God displaying His pattern. The Lord has His plan. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord displayed this pattern he has for our lives. What is that pattern? This is important for us to understand, because we easily complain God or murmur against God when there are difficulties and problems in life. At least for me, maybe not so you. You'll be stronger Christians. And so this is primarily a sermon for myself. One who should understand God's pattern. And in fact, even in the world, that is what is known and being told. No pain, no gain. Well, the Lord had this pattern for us displayed here. And this pattern is that we have to carry our crosses before the crown. We have to go through the difficulties and sufferings in life in order to be equipped. You have to study in order to work. Right? You don't have to go immediately to a work without learning and studying and go through a some rigorous kind of training. That's why in FEBC, our principal always reminds us there is no royal road to learning. And everyone who will come to FEBC, the first question that he will ask, are you ready to suffer? And not a good welcome greeting, right? But it is the best greeting, I believe. Are you ready to suffer? That is the pattern. And that pattern here we see first in how God prepared him. You know, we know that later he was to be appointed as a prime minister. One who will rule not only a house, but he will rule the whole kingdom of Egypt. And even rule the whole world. Because when the 7 years of famine came, it was the one who was the head, the leader, one dispensing all those grains and food that he gathered. But he was trained first. The apostles did not go immediately to preaching. They were trained as disciples of Christ for 3 years. That's how God always do his work. He will always first train us, then we can do the work of God. That's what we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. We need to be taught in order to teach. We need to learn in order to tell others. Because we have nothing to teach if we are not taught. So I encourage everyone to be taught, even in the Sunday school, because we need, that is the commission of God for us, teaching them to observe all things. How can we teach others all things if we don't know anything? We need to learn. And God's pattern is for us to go through a life of training. Moses attempted to just go immediately into delivering his own people from the bondage of the Egyptians. He failed. He needed to undergo his training. What was the training? 40 years in the wilderness. He has to know every nook and corner of the wilderness so that when he leads the people out, he knows where to go. And that's how we are to be trained. Joseph was trained. It was trained in a responsibility that was enough for him at that day, and he was overseer in his house. Later, will be the overseer of the whole kingdom and even the inhabited world. We see also that's the pattern of God for provision. When God provides, it's not just something that we have to sit down and wait for God to drop all the manna and whatever things for us to receive. He will always cause us to work. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't have the right to eat. You have to work. There are some people today, young people, who want to escape work and they just want to lie down and do nothing. We have to work. That's part of God's pattern for us to understand that He is the God who works
at the very beginning in creating the whole universe before the blessings or the provision he created. Before he rested, he worked for 6 days. God himself showed us the pattern. The pattern is for us to work 6 days. One day in a week, we have to praise and glorify God. God's pattern. Behind this frowning providence, still God shows this is the way. And in fact, he showed to us in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and he showed them that they have to go through difficult times. And that was a good way of reminding them that truly they have sinned against God. To remind them that they have offended God, disobeyed God. Yes, they were forgiven. There is a promise of a Savior in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they have to suffer because they have to understand that they have sinned. But there will be a deliverance. Immediately after God said in Genesis 3:15 that there will be a Savior, the seed of a woman, they did not have another Garden of Eden that they will be enjoying everything. They have to go through a life of difficulty, suffering, but there is eternity in heaven. God's pattern is revealed in here. Behind God's frowning providence, Eve would maybe complain, Lord, why do you have to let me suffer for in the time where I give birth? Why do you have to Adam for him to sweat it out to work and have fruits? Why not give us another garden? You have promised us a Savior, and indeed he will come. Said, you have to know that you have greatly offended God. And that is good because for us to be reminded of how we have sinned against God, we are to always kneel and bow down before him and seek for his help so that we will not be tempted and to do again what our parents have done. And as we are saved, we are to remember how God has already cleansed us and forgiven us. David, when he sinned against God, sinning with Bathsheba, he was forgiven. And yet, after that, he went through a life that showed how he sinned against God, reminding him God's pattern is behind the frowning providence that we have. We are sinners saved by grace. And that will help us to keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on relying on him. Keep on following him. Keep on knowing his word. And indeed, it is God's pattern of preservation. He preserved Joseph. He was not sold to any other master. He was not killed. And he was left in a house whose master trusted him. Was preserved, and that's the way, because he has to go through another experience that would be frowning, but that is in preparation for him to be a master also for the whole palace, the whole land, the whole kingdom, and that is for the preservation not only for himself and for the kingdom, but for the preservation of his own siblings and his own father, because soon, after the 7 years of prosperity, of harvest, of plenteous harvest, soon the famine will come and the brothers will come and they will be there to be fed inside Egypt. And after 400 years, they will be delivered out. God's plan was for them to go back to Canaan and there they will live so that the Messiah would come. And that blessing is not just for them, it is for us also today. You and me receive this blessing, this preservation, because all those who have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ are preserved. We will persevere. We are preserved by God, preserved even until the end, preserved even until the time we have to be with him in eternity. In this frowning providence, we may think, oh, where is God? Why do you allow such a good person? He was honest. He was doing well. He did not do any bad thing. He was just revealing God's dreams or revelation to him. Why allow him to go through these difficulties, to travel from Dothan, Israel, to Egypt, or Canaan at that time, to Egypt? You know how long or the distance between this Dothan to Egypt? It is estimated to be about 800 kilometers, just around that distance. And to give us a context, it is about like coming from Singapore, walking to KL and KL back. That's what the walk. He was not allowed to ride or be put on a camel or what. He was dragged as a slave. It was a frowning providence. But behind it, God's smiling face is there. Joseph, you have to go through this, but I know where you are going. And this is not just for your preservation. This is a preservation of your people. And it's even the blessing for all. Because of Joseph's going to Egypt, the whole tribe of Jacob, Israel, was preserved. And through them, Judah, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming from the tribe of Judah. It's a blessing for all. We might question why God allowed Joseph to go through, but we have to praise God, Lord, thank you for allowing that in the life of Joseph. Behind the frowning providence, God is there. He's planning, foreordaining things. And be assured that God is there with us. He is with us always. He's present with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his promise. Lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. That is God's promise. And remember God's pattern. That is what is denied in most of the prosperity and this positive thinking and this so-called, faith. Word of faith movement. Just claim it and have it. You just have to be positive always. Everything will be good. No, we have to go through this frowning providence. But be sure it is God who planned it. He's a good, loving God. All-powerful, omniscient God who knows everything and He can do everything for you. One Puritan said, the brethren of Joseph sold him to the Egyptians, to the Ishmaelites to dishonor him because they wanted to prove that he was just mumbling some false claims. But God allowed him to be sold to honor him, to honor Joseph. And even in our lives, we experience some of these things that may be to us not just frowning, so dark that we even think God is not with us and God condemning us. And we question God, we murmur against Him, we complain. But we have to understand who God is. And this is what most Christians don't see. And this is what the unbelievers cannot see. They could not see God's presence. They could not see God's plan. They could not see God's pattern. That's what Richard Dawkins keep on saying. There is no God. Those who believe in God, they are in delusion. They're mad, crazy. Are you? Am I? No, I know I have my God. I know I'm in good hand because He's the one who plans everything in my life. I know He is God who is with me, and I know God's pattern, and I must trust Him. I would rather believe in God than Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens or whatever, all those atheists today. But why is the world full of evil? Is our God unable to control? Is our God powerless? Is our God unloving that He allows this? Well, we know that God reigns. That's why we know there is this place full of evil, because we know He's God who is righteous. And He knows that those who are against Him, those who are unbelieving, those who are rebelling against Him, still God loves them and shows them that these are the things that you will experience. Even more sufferings you will have when you will not acknowledge God. There will be even more evil, torment, torture that you will suffer. You complain about evil in this world today. You complain about diseases, you complain about sickness, you complain about poverty, you complain about famine, drought, climate change is getting hotter every day. Yes, that's a warning. There is even a hotter place than the climate change that we have on earth. It is hell. I don't know what's the temperature there. And you don't want to know that. Don't you? You don't want to go there and check. You don't want to bring a thermometer there to check what's the temperature there. You better believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be in heaven. And thank God for us who are truly born again believers that God had mercy on us. It is not because we are good. It's not because we are raised in a Christian family. It's not because we are true lifers that we are saved. It's not because we are in FEBC that we are saved. It's because God has elected us, has chosen us even before the foundation of this world. That's His plan. And we can just say, oh Lord, thank You. Praise You. Glorify You, Lord. I cannot say and I cannot claim anything from me. It's You. And behind this frowning providence, I know You are there. I know You are with me. I know You set this as a pattern of my life. And may the Lord encourage us, help us. And don't listen to these evolutionists and those who try to play on words so that you will be deceived and question and think that God is not there. Soon they will understand that God is indeed here. Because even in hell, God knows that they are there.